Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, this is John Rothstein, the host of Inside College Basketball Now, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, reminding you that our show is going to ramp up over the next 2 months. That's because we're counting down to Selection Sunday and March Madness. We will be coming to you each and every week with multiple episodes featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and best names in the sport. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet for college basketball junkies everywhere.
Follow and listen to Inside College Basketball Now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Third down and 7. A slip here to Ayuk, the rookie from Arizona State, and he'll bust it inside the 20 and the 10. And look at that! He hurdles his way into the end zone. Touchdown over Marcus Epps.
G&D on the Fan. In about an hour and a half, we've got a chance for you to win tickets to go see the Capitals at Capital One Arena. You better be listening. Ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. We'll talk Hoyas basketball in the Beltway Blitz. How about Georgetown doing the thing they do every, like, 10 years or so?
This is so Georgetown.
Just a bad regular season, coach in shambles, you know, program that's been a debacle, people saying maybe you fire a guy, and they go on their run. They did this under Patrick Ewing during the pandemic year when they won the Big East tournament and got into the NCAA tournament. And now they're in the semifinals tonight against UConn. You can listen to that game right here on The Fan. At 8 p.m., pregame at 7:45, Georgetown trying to force their way in to the NCAA tournament if they can win two more games.
Tall task here. UConn is pretty damn good.
They've played them close twice.
That is true.
I was at Capital One Arena for the first of the two games. I think it ended up being, you know, a handful of possession game, but it was a two-point game with like a minute to go, and they've been right there with them multiple times this year. Now, I'm not predicting that happens tonight, but they played some of their best basketball in the last couple of games. I don't think you would have had them beating Villanova last night either.
I certainly would not have. Although it was a real shame to see Kevin Willard lose that game. But quick shout out to GW that blew a 20-point lead against St. Louis in the semifinals of the Atlanta 10 tournament, trying to stamp their ticket to the NCAAs. That, of course, will not happen. But that's so fun to watch when that goes down.
Watching you watch GW blow a 20-point lead was a treat, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, Danny is a lot of things. Calm when he watches sports isn't one of
them. That's not one of the things.
By the time I got my computer to allow us to watch it on YouTube TV, because it decided to, you know, it turns off randomly, then it dies if it's not plugged in.
Right.
So there were a bunch of times where I faked you out, where I'm like, all right, I got it. And then I didn't.
You didn't.
But by the time we turned it on, it was like a 4-point game.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you said it was like 14 points.
Oh, it was. They were up 14 at halftime, up 20 in the first half, but that doesn't matter.
Well, you could have been Mason, and you could have just not even had a game today.
Yeah, that was
because you lost yesterday. That was no fun. But that'll do it for now for College Hoops. Beltway Blitz will have more of that conversation. I want to get into Brandon Ayuk. We keep trying to do this, and then Adam Peters signed somebody. So be on the lookout. Maybe some news will break any minute now. It does feel like this is going to happen, doesn't it? There's always been the speculation. It's always made a lot of sense. Ayuk went out of San Francisco. Then they admitted he's not going to be back, and his BFF totes is Jaden Daniels, and Washington needs a receiver, and Peters knows him from San Fran. And so for all these reasons, people have just kind of speculated this will be a thing. Well, now Washington has swung and missed at a couple wideouts. It's their biggest position of need. Everybody is saying as soon as he becomes available, he's going to become a Commander in short order. It just feels like this is the worst-kept secret in the league right now.
It does, and I was reading, was it Schefter? Or I can't remember who it was yesterday, so I was looking for it just now while you were talking. Basically saying that San Francisco is in no hurry to do him any favors, talking about Ayuk, right? They're not going to release him the first instant they can. They don't owe him anything.
Yeah, we'll grab the audio. He basically said, not in as many words, but essentially he screwed them for a long time, and now they're screwing him back. Like, he wants to be available to sign. They don't necessarily want to grant him that. This was Schefter on ESPN yesterday.
Well, first and foremost, I know it says that they're planning to release him, but I'd like to add on that they're not planning to release him anytime soon.
Okay.
They essentially have no guaranteed money left in his contract, so they can hold on to him for the time being. They could hold on to him in the draft and see if they could flip him for a pick at that point in time. They could hold on to him until June. They've paid him an awful lot of money. I don't think this is happening anytime soon, despite the report. And I think that they'll be holding on to him for a little while to see if there's any trade value at all. Washington does make a lot of sense. He played with Jaden Daniels in college. They're very close. Jaden Daniels, I'm sure, would love to play again with Brandon Ayuk. But I don't get the sense that the 49ers are in any rush to move on from Brandon Ayuk, even though we know eventually they will.
They're slow playing it.
Yeah, I would too, by the way.
Borderline messed up. But then again, he kind of did you dirty. So now you just do him dirty back.
Yeah. It's not the type of thing you want to major in, because it's very reminiscent of the Bruce Allen / Dan Snyder stare down with Trent Williams. What's the upside here? What are we trying to do? That was a case of, we need to trade the player, or hopefully you bring him back into the fold and you'd like him to play for you. They, of course, got minimum value and handled it poorly, but I guess they won the contest. This is a, we know it's over. You ain't playing for us. We don't want you to play for us. We can't wait to be rid of you, but we're also not just doing you any favors here. Right, we still have some leverage in this case, not much, but some, and we can't inflict the pain on you that you inflicted on us. But here's some. Here's a little taste back of somebody not acting in a professional way. I would do that sort of stuff again. You don't want to major in it, because it all of a sudden becomes a sort of color stuff, and now you've got vendettas, and it doesn't help you win football games necessarily. But after what he pulled last season, I'm not just giving him what he wants the instant he wants it.
Absolutely not. Here's where I want to open the phones on this, though. This will be the topic I want people to chime in on, because occasionally we get the opportunity, the beauty of radio compared to all the other ways to provide content on this team, is we get that immediacy to talk to people on the phones. And I am interested in touching the people on just the temperature on Ayuk, and if you are more open after a week of free agency with nothing at wide receiver to this possibility. Are you growing in your intrigue or interest about this player? 800-636-1067. I am. Now, grade this on a curve, okay? I was a 0 on my 1 to 10 scale of how badly would you like Brandon Ayuk as recently as a week ago. A 0. I think what he did in San Francisco is borderline unprecedented. It gives me, what's beyond pause? No interest? I mean, it gives me massive reservations when a guy gets paid and can't rehab an injury, can't show up, can't post, falls out of favor after a team gets down on a knee. Normally, see Terry McLaurin in Washington, it's the you haven't proposed to me fight. It's the you're tagging me, you're giving me 1 year, you won't give me the long-term deal. That's a normal butting of heads between a player and a team. Yeah. This was after the mega contract. You never see issues continue after that. They did with this player. So I wanted nothing to do with him. When you combine that with the injury, it was very serious, ACLs and all the CLs and the Ls in the knee, and you're wondering, is he ever going to be the same? Will he be back? I also think there's some questions on Brandon Ayuk in terms of, he was at his best when we fell in love with him, when I ranked him a borderline top 10 receiver in the NFL. He's catching balls from a $50 million quarterback in Brock Purdy. He's got a guy taking attention away who might be the best pass-catching weapon in the league out of the backfield in Christian McCaffrey. He's got a elite weapon at wide receiver who's being accounted for at that point, an all-pro caliber guy in Deebo Samuel. And he might have the best tight end in football, if it wasn't Travis Kelce at that time, in George Kittle as well. So you're not getting the type of attention you're going to get as a wide receiver one elsewhere.
I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, The Final Hours.
Crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On The Final Hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he who we think he is as a player, even if he is back to normal and fully healthy, which is a question mark? So I had all these reservations and things floating around in my head, and it's why I was a 0. But if the price is right, and we're trending toward the price being basically nothing, I don't think this is a $10 million show-me deal. I think this is a couple of million, welcome to the team, you better act right deal. If that's what we're talking about, and by the way, they don't have any receivers. It's McLaurin and Luke and Treylon Burks, and that's it right now. Of course my interest has gone up. Now, where is it out of 1 to 10? I guess I'm now at a 2.5, a 3. I'm not excited about this. It might work out, but what happens if it works out? He gives you a fool's gold season. Now I've got to pay this guy, and I'm supposed to pretend like as soon as you pay him, all your problems go away. Ask Kyle Shanahan about that. Ask the Niners about that. Normally, that's true. Pay a guy, the problems go away. The problems got worse. They were exacerbated when that happened in San Francisco. So it's just not a culture move for me. It's not a brotherhood move for me. But am I into it more than I was? Yes, because they are desperate. And this is, when you start to get desperate, you start to get a little bit more interested in things maybe you wouldn't normally. I don't want to eat at that restaurant I don't like. But now I haven't eaten all day. And now you're telling me I can't cook anything. So, okay, I'll take the takeout order. I'll have something that you ordered that you're not going to eat. And that's kind of where I'm at on Brandon Ayuk. I've gone from a 0 to a 2.5.
Yeah, as long as this is a Sean Couturier or a Trevor Zegras or a Noah Cates situation, those are flyers, I'm fine with it. When it becomes the plan, alarm bells should be going off for everybody. Like, if it gets beyond a cursory amount that it will take to help you relocate you and any loved ones to the East Coast, people should be freaking out about it. Because again, what I've been worried about the whole time is, we got Ayuk. It's all coming together. That can't be it. Because again, in addition to the cancerous activity that he engaged in, are we sure that knee is fine? He didn't rehab. Like, that's the underlying part of this to me.
He didn't show up to rehab.
He didn't do the thing that you have to do to get your knee back together. So I have no idea. Now, again, this could all blow up with the medical or who knows. They could go full Ravens on it. But I'm basically going, there are so many red flag, buyer beware type parts of this that I can't commit any resources. If there's a multi-year deal, I'll freak out. If it's too much money, even for 1 year, because that'll mean that we're done working at the position and it's now the Noah Brown tier again. I just can't count on him.
I want to drill down next on the difference. Is it a financial thing? Is it about money? Like, how much money? What is the difference between him being the plan and a flyer? Because I agree with you. You're saying it's got to be a flyer. He's got to be Travis Konecny. Great. What's the difference between him being viewed as a flyer versus the eggs being put in his basket? Is that just how much he's making? We'll do that next. Also, 800-636-1067. Are you coming around on Brandon Ayuk as Washington's receiver position becomes more and more of a question with fewer options available? This is The Fan.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.